very quick way of getting the mind to settle down is to think of the muscles in the body that tend to be overworked. Not the big ones, the little ones. The muscles in your hands, the muscles around your eyes. Think of them all relaxing. Think of the blood flowing into those areas, filling all the blood vessels. And then try to not squeeze them. We have this tendency to squeeze the muscles of the hands, especially with the fight or flight reaction, and squeeze the muscles around the eyes when we're thinking, especially with all the screens that we watch in the course of the day, the computer screens, the tablet screens, the phone screens. Our eyes get overworked. And then we tend to use these muscles as we're thinking. I mentioned before that there are patterns of the body, patterns of tension, where you tense up a little bit as a marker for a particular thought, like a bookmark. So you can keep that thought going. A lot of those are around the eyes. So think of the eyes and the area around the eyes being fully nourished with blood. Totally relaxed as you breathe in, as you breathe out. And then as you develop a sense of fullness in those parts of the body, think of that fullness spreading out. May not be as intense in other parts of the body, but think of the range of your awareness spreading. Learn how to appreciate that sense of undisturbed fullness. Because it's there that rapture can begin. These are some of the nuts and bolts of the practice. I've been working on a transcript of the retreat I taught in France earlier in the year. It was supposed to be a retreat on desire and the path. It very quickly turned into a jhana retreat. Turns out that a lot of people have been listening to different teachings about jhana online. And they've been trying it at home. It came with a lot of questions. And a lot of the questions were nuts and bolts kinds of questions. What do you do when there's a lot of pressure in your head? What do you do when your legs fall asleep? Some people complained about how minuscule these problems were. But they are problems you run into as you're trying to settle down and have a sense of well-being here. As for the larger issues, those will come. But first you want to get the nuts and the bolts down. You want to get really good at this. And part of the problem, of course, you're going to find out is, what is your motivation for wanting to be good at this? The Buddha talks about people with no integrity, who compare themselves with other people in the practice. And you tell yourself, well, I'll try to not compare myself with other people. But sometimes that actually gets in the way of mastering things. There's that passage in Ajahn Lee's autobiography where he's a young monk, and he and Ajahn Gomba, who ordained together, had a meditation contest. It went on for days. First, there was an issue about how little food they could get by on, who would eat the least amount of food. And then it was who could meditate the longest. They would alternate sitting and walking, sitting and walking. John Lee talks about one time when he was doing walking meditation late at night, and he heard this crash in the little hut where John Gomba was sitting. He peeped inside, and John Gomba had fallen asleep, sitting in lotus position, fallen back, his legs were up in the air. He kind of laughed to himself, but he felt, okay, I won. He said he felt sorry for Ajahn Gomba, but at the same time he had that childish sense, okay, I won. Okay, that's not the most exalted motivation for practicing long hours, but it does help you get practicing for long hours. So you may worry about your motivation as you're practicing here. That will come up later. Try to get good at the nuts and bolts first. The Buddha makes this point about the precepts. You work on the precepts, and your attitude towards them in the very beginning may be a fair amount of pride that you're able to hold to the precepts when other people can't. But it's only when you get to stream entry that you do not create a sense of self around the precepts. There's that fetter that associated with clinging to habits and practices. And some people interpret that as meaning, well, when you get to stream entry, then you no longer worry about rules. You're no longer attached to particular values. Well, that were the case, then a lot of people who just walk around on the street without any precepts would already be there. The Buddha's description of it is something different. He says, you do not fasten yourself around the precepts. You are virtuous. You follow the precepts. But by this point, your motivations have been cleaned up. You're no longer doing this to be better than other people. You're doing it because you realize this is medicine for your mind. You need treatment, you gotta take the medicine. But up to that point, there will be times when you do take some pride in the fact that you're holding to the precepts. You may have a strong sense of self around them because that's how you defend yourself from your own inclinations not to observe the precepts. Think of the committee of the mind. There are lots of yous in there that used to break the precepts. They can come up with all kinds of reasons. So you, as the meditator, have to be strong. And whatever motivation you use to maintain your strength, use what you've got. Then as you get better, of course, then you get more mature in your motivation. When Ajahn Phoeng was teaching meditation in Bangkok, there was one group of people who started meditating with him pretty much at the same time. And there was kind of a competition among them. If person A suddenly would have this experience in meditation, a few days later you'd have person B would have that experience, and then person C. And that way they egged one another on. Wasn't the most noble motivation, but the fact that they wanted to keep up with one another enabled them to master a lot of the techniques and master a lot of the nuts and the bolts that are needed for the meditation. Then later on, some of them sorted out their motivations, realizing that they were causing themselves unnecessary strain or unnecessary attitudes that were not really healthy. But by that time, they'd mastered the techniques. So don't wait until your motivation is pure and then master things, because you can wait till your dying day and you still won't get your motivation pure. It's when you learn how to do these things, learn how to do the practices, and then examine your motivation. That's what the commitment and the reflection are for. You commit yourself to doing this, you try to do it as well as you can. And then you step back. And if you haven't mastered anything yet, when you step back, what are you going to look at? You put together what you can with what you've got. And then as you get better and better at it, then you can listen to yourself, look at yourself, and see, oh, I've got this unhealthy attitude here or this not quite skillful attitude there, and they're actually causing trouble. You won't see the trouble until you work on the techniques. So work on getting the techniques down. Perfection can come later. I know people who say, well, I won't do any concentration practice until I've totally mastered the precepts. As John Munn discovered, mastery of the precepts requires concentration and it also requires discernment. Just as concentration requires discernment, you don't do these things lined up in a row. Because as John Mahabho noted, your defilements don't come out lined up in a row. Sometimes low-level defilements come, sometimes high-level defilements come. As far as the triple training, your arch is not really going to get good until you're really clear about your intentions. And the best way to get clear about your intentions is to do concentration practice. Because the more you can get the mind still, then when something comes up, the more likely you are to see it. So you make use of what you've got, you make use of what you need at any particular time. And then as you get better and better at this, things will begin to sort out. You can see more clearly where your motivation is not pure. And it'll be easier to let go of it then.